This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, while Republicans in Washington might be moving slowly in dismantling the Obama administration's policies, at the state level, GOP leaders are moving quickly to not only overturn the left's policies, but uproot their power base. The president of the Kentucky Senate, Robert Stivers, joins me in just a moment. Also, pastors and church leaders from the Caribbean region are calling upon President Trump to reverse the policies of the Obama-Kerry State Department and, quote, once again cast a light from the city upon a hill, end quote. What are they asking for? Well, Pastor Paul Mercelin of Guyana will answer that question a little later here on Washington Watch. And Kurt Schilling, former All-Star pitcher and former analyst on ESPN, weighs in on the NFL's threat to redirect future Super Bowls away from the Lone Star State if, listen to this, look what they're considering, requiring people to use restrooms of their biological sex in government facilities. Wow. We're going to talk about that with Kurt Schilling here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. So don't go away. A lot to cover today. All right. The Kentucky House of Representatives convened in January with a Republican majority for the first time in nearly a century. With a Republican in the governor's mansion and a Republican majority in the Senate, GOP leaders have been moving forward, dismantling the failed policies of the left. With Republicans solidly in control of at least half the states in the nation, compared to just six states controlled by Democrats, conservatives are also moving to dismantle the left's power base. With us now is the Kentucky Senate President, Robert Stivers. Senator, thank you for joining us here on Washington Watch.
Glad to do so, Tony.
Senator, let me ask you, how are Republicans, now that you have this new majority in Kentucky, how are you using it?
Well, the first week, which was unusual circumstance, in fact, I don't think we've ever done anything like this in my 20 years here, we moved to pass several bills we felt would be beneficial to encouraging businesses to locate here or expand by passing what we call the right to work legislation, which would allow an individual to work at a place that would be defined as shop, but not be a participant in negotiations or benefits. Also, what is called the basic wage. We did that, which artificially set labor pay rates on governmental projects to an artificially high number, which caused taxpayer dollars to be less efficiently spent. These are two things the union wanted. We felt it was better for us to repeal those, go back to market-based performance, setting that, and having an open shop so people could work. It moved quickly. We did it the first week, which has been 10 days required by our Constitution. But that was what we felt was appropriate.
Now, Senator, let me. You talk very matter-of-factly about that, that that is a pretty significant move. In fact, only four states that have gained Republican majorities in November have moved in that direction, Iowa, Missouri, and Kentucky as well. This is pretty significant when you talk about right to work. I mean, I was in the Louisiana legislature a number of years ago when that was a big battle. Of course, it's been good for the economy of the state. So, I mean, it makes good economic sense. But politically, that's pretty difficult. How'd you get that done?
Well, it is difficult, and I think most people remember what happened in Wisconsin may have been the most notable area or state. But soon after the election was over and we knew we had a significant majority in the House, the governor, myself, the new Speaker of the House, got together. Actually, the governor, I'd been talking about it for a couple of weeks. We strategized to make sure we had everything in place, had our scheduling sequence, and the natural tendency would be go after the newly elected House. We moved them out of the House as quickly as possible and got them to the Senate because we've been a supermajority for almost 6 or 7 years now.
Now, I forgot to mention, New Hampshire was the other state that's moved on these business-related, economic-related, economic development-related, however you want to describe them. Just so our listeners understand, this has not been at the forefront of a lot of the political battles in recent years. It's been simmering at various state levels. But essentially what this does, it's much bigger because this is really dismantling the left's power base, because when you have these states where you have closed shop, where if you're going to get a job, you have to join a union, and your union dues then goes to support the candidates that most of these unions want to support, and that tends to be Democrats. So this has ripple effects across the political landscape, does it not?
It does, and it has huge impacts, but it is not something that we just did with those two bills. We also did what we called the paycheck protection, where you had to affirmatively opt out of the public unions, or you would be in the unions with dues being deducted, even though you may not know about it. That may have been as significant for leveling the playing field as anything on a political basis that we did during the first week. But truly, it is significant. It is significant from an economic standpoint, because we believe we have a third more of the individuals who would be looking at the state. And a political standpoint, as I said earlier, it levels the playing field for many people who were involved in the electoral process.
Without question, there's nothing that is equitable on the right, if you will. I mean, there's no place where, you know, you have to, your money goes to support political candidates that the people you work for are supportive of. And this, you know, even corporate America with the profits that they use, although it's not directly taken from people's paychecks, it's taken from the profits of consumers, they tend to go to the left as well. So this is, you're absolutely right. This radically alters the playing field to make it level. But I think in the long run, as you pointed out, this is good for the state of Kentucky in this case, for economic development, as we've seen back in my home state of Louisiana as well. So, Senator Stivers, what else is on the chalkboard for the majority there in the Bluegrass State to do?
Well, we still want to do everything we can do to make this as business-friendly a state as possible. We also know that when we think about our philosophies, we have fiscal or business philosophies, but we're also about making strong social statements, because we are a socially conservative state. So we went ahead and also in the first week, bills that had been blocked by the Democrat-controlled House, two pro-life bills, we passed both of those in the first week, which the primary one was the ban of any abortion after 20 weeks. We know that with withstand judicial scrutiny. We took what we felt we could legally get by with in the federal court system. But then as we go into this next part of the session, because we have a three-week break, we continue to want to create hope, opportunity, change our school systems, better educate our students to where we will have a better workforce and, again, be more competitive to create jobs and opportunity. That's where we're moving.
Now, you, when you talk about education, you are looking at potential school choice opportunities?
School choice, charter schools, performance-based funding at the university level, workforce-ready skills, incenting the non-traditional route for individuals after they get out of high school, look at more technical training. So we're really revamping the whole educational framework in this state.
I mean, it's quite amazing when you look at what you're doing. I mean, and you're doing it in pretty quick form. What has been the response, Senator Stivers, from your constituents and from the people in the state?
I think they were impressed that we did what we did in the first week. I also think from those people who understand it, they were very well aware of why things didn't move, but for those individuals who weren't as politically astute, they then realized that the holdup was a few of the Democrat leaders in the House that really stymied us. And we have gotten just an exceptional response from our constituency and the state as a whole, Democrat and Republican alike.
Where do you see now the strongest resistance to these reform policies when you look to education, especially when you get into parental choice? Are you going to have difficulty with kind of the educational lobby in the state?
You will have a lot of blowback, as we say, from the educational lobby, and we are having a little bit better success in higher ed doing performance-based funding because they realize that they need to be worked to better suit the student to be employable when they graduate. But that truly is the place where we get the most resistance is from that delivering community.
Mm-hmm. So one final question for you, Senator Stivers. What would you say to the Republican majority in Washington? They now are in control, much like the Republicans in Kentucky and nearly a quarter of the states, or half the states, I should say, in the country. What would your recommendation be to them when it comes to their reform agenda?
Well, the first thing I would respond to the legislative bodies in Washington, something that we have heard from both Senator McConnell, which is our United States senators, and others: elections have consequences, and those consequences are the people who are in control are going to make the decisions and move that direction. And whether or not you agree with it, it's the reality. And instead of being just an obstructionist to be an obstructionist, be constructive. Try to work with the majority party and quit basically trying to stop things just for political gains. Think about the long-term policy, because truly, I believe these are political in nature, but the most important thing is everything we've done here in Kentucky has good policy to
right.
it as well.
Now, have the Democrats then come along and worked with you on some of these reform policies now?
Well, on some, we did have a few Democrat votes along the line for some of the what we call the fiscal or business-oriented legislation. We had substantial numbers of Democrats. Almost half of all the Democrats voted for our social issues. So it was significant from that perspective that we had such bipartisan support for the social issues and a limited number on the what I would call the fiscal or business
right.
issue.
Not surprised. Actually, my family's roots are from Kentucky. My mother born in Possum Trot, Kentucky. It is a conservative state.
Possum Trot, Kentucky?
Yes, Possum
Clay
Trot.
Clay County?
Yeah, not many people know where Possum Trot is.
Oh, so, I know right where it is. That's my district.
Well, you have some of my family probably still some of your constituents. Senator, thanks so much for joining us, and congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you.
All right. Interesting stuff there in the bluegrass states. And this is happening all across the country when leaders take control and move forward. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to be hearing from the Caribbean. We might get some special music with it, too. Don't go away. We're back with more here on Washington Watch.
One of the great freedoms that most Americans enjoy is the ability to get involved in political campaigns. But what about pastors? Unfortunately, due to a little-known amendment that was passed in 1954 at President Lyndon Johnson's urging, churches and other nonprofit organizations are prohibited from making statements for or against a candidate for public office if they want to remain tax-exempt. This is just one of the many problems with the Johnson Amendment. Not only does fear of IRS action put a chill on the free speech of pastors, it restrains other nonprofit organizations from participating in the debate of public policy in their area of expertise. In addition, the IRS only rarely enforces the Johnson Amendment, causing widespread confusion about what constitutes lawful political speech and what doesn't. For more information on how to amend the Johnson Amendment, visit frc.org/Johnson Amendment. That's frc.org/Johnson Amendment.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Hey, that's a pretty neat tractor you got there, kiddo. You know, someday you might find yourself driving a tractor. Of course, it might not seem as fun then.
With age comes wisdom and a firm grasp on the realities of life. If you hold appreciated stock or real estate, you may be concerned about the realities of capital gains tax when you sell your assets. Maybe you've recently sold appreciated property and you're looking for ways to offset your tax liability. Or maybe you're entering your retirement years and you're looking for ways to increase your income for the future. One way would be a charitable remainder trust. With it, you can make a gift of your property to charity, bypass capital gains tax, and make a charitable deduction at tax time. For advice on this, a charitable gift annuity, or several other financial options, contact the AFA Foundation. Our website is afafoundation.net. You can look us up on Facebook or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you want to find out more about our last guest, Senator Stivers, go to tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over. All right, a lot happening. A group of concerned pastors and Christian ministries from the Caribbean region. I couldn't find my Don't Worry, Be Happy music. But they sent a letter to President Trump, evoking the phrase that Ronald Reagan used to use about America being a shining city on the hill. Now, their concern is that America has, under the policies of Barack Obama, which are still in play, America is not shining a light, but rather it's casting a shadow. Here with us now, all the way from Guyana in South America, is Pastor Paul Mershullen. Pastor, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
Well, I have read the letter which you and a number of other pastors have sent to the Trump, President Trump's administration, calling for them to reverse the policies of the Obama administration. For the benefit of our listeners, kind of encapsulate your concerns of what has happened under the policies of Barack Obama.
Yes. First of all, again, I want to say thanks very much for allowing me to be on the program. As you have mentioned, I am Paul Mershullen, and I am representing a number of pastors, churches, leaders across the Caribbean nation on this issue that we have confronting us. We have, over the past number of years under the Obama administration, been faced with a lot of challenges in the Caribbean nation, especially with respect to the LGBT issue. We were coerced into accepting that agenda, threatening fund withdrawal and a number of other things. And our governments are under severe pressure to really toe the line. We now see a ray of hope under President Trump and Vice President Pence, where some of this can be reversed and give us a chance to maintain our traditional conservative Christian values on the issue. And that is one of the reasons why we decide that now that this opportunity presents itself, let us write to President Trump asking him to reverse the agenda.
Now, in your letter, which a number of pastors, I mean, dozens of pastors signed, hundreds of pastors, I should say, the centrality of, and I'm going to quote from it, quote, the centrality of the promotion of same-sex marriage to U.S. foreign policy was reflected in President Barack Obama's creation of the new State Department position, Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBT Persons. Not one of us regards any person, homosexual or otherwise, as possessing anything less than the fullness of our inalienable God-given human rights. But is this what was meant by then-Secretary Hillary Clinton's announcement that gay rights are human rights and human rights are gay rights? And you go on in the letter to basically say that the promotion of gay rights must come at the expense of human rights because the two just don't go together.
Right.
What has been the response so far?
You mean the response from
the Trump administration. Have you heard from them?
No, we have not yet heard anything from them. As a matter of fact, we are in the process of getting that. We are putting a few things together, and then we are going to get the letter out to them. But the letter has not yet reached the president, but within another few days or so, that will be in place. And we're greatly looking forward for a positive response, you know, from the president in relation to this.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for, this is an issue that we have addressed on this program many times, the State Department and how it has promoted this agenda to the detriment of religious freedom around the globe, in not just the Caribbean states, but literally around the world. This has taken place in Africa, in Europe, and elsewhere. What do you hope will be the outcome of your communication with the Trump administration?
Yeah, we're hoping that the president would make changes in terms of who heads up the embassies in the Caribbean country, the various countries. Because we have discovered that part of the Obama administration goes direct control and direction to the respective embassies. And the embassies are kind of like a watch-out post for the administration's agenda. We're hoping that the letter would influence President Trump to change some of those approach and directives. As you would know, there are a number of areas in which the embassies are actually required to address the issue, to stand firm against the Obama administration's policy. We are hoping that some of these would change. For example, foreign aid, any form of travel restriction on those who are opposed to the agenda.
So, Pastor Paul, we're almost out of time. But you've had travel restrictions, people getting a permission to travel to the United States if they have a view of marriage that was in contrast to the Obama administration?
Well, we cannot identify any specific case at the moment, but these have been some of the general things that we are hoping would not come up under the new administration. Mm-hmm. And that people can freely speak against or their feelings on these issues without being threatened with any one of these issues that came out of the Obama administration.
Well, and so
we're preempting any move that might be made.
And we're hoping for the same thing here in the United States, because we've seen the same thing here in different areas, but for the same reasons under the Obama administration. Pastor Paul, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and we will continue to monitor this and hopefully be able to get you back on the program when we have a positive resolution.
Well, we will be more than happy to be back on the program. Thank you very much, Tony, for having me on the program.
All right, Pastor Paul. All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over. And folks, this, again, I'm telling you, this is widespread, and it's why the administration has to address it. Kurt Schilling on the other side of the break joins us. Don't go away. A lot more to come.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, not a lot of economic data coming out this week. One thing we're getting out is going to be retail sales numbers. Retail sales numbers ex autos is what we're looking for. Retail sales number, the headline number, is expected to be negative. But when we strip out autos, there may be some slightly positive retail sales numbers. So we'll be watching that closely. Import-export prices also coming out. But the two biggest numbers are going to be industrial production. Now, this is a January number. Industrial production expected to be up slightly, 0.3%. The other number is Michigan sentiment number. Michigan sentiment number, the first look for the month of February, it was down. It's expected to be down a little bit further than it was. Apparently, consumer confidence, as measured by Michigan sentiment, is going down. Very unusual when we see so many other indicators going up. But nonetheless, we'll watch that. They're the important numbers. There is some other numbers coming out this week. The other thing that we're going to be watching closely is oil. OPEC reports a confirmation of compliance with oil production agreement. January oil production fell by 890,000 barrels a day, and that's compared to December, a significant drop. Not quite the 1.2 million, but nonetheless, a significant drop. Also, Libya, Nigeria have increased their production. They're not a part of OPEC, trying to make up for some of the shortfall, and that's not good if it continues. That may spur OPEC to forget about the production cuts.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. The website is TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, you can keep up with me at T Perkins. All right. Late last week, over the weekend, the National Football League is threatening, they issued a threat, to not award future Super Bowls. Now, just remember, they just had a very successful Super Bowl in Houston, Texas. But they will not award any future Super Bowls or other major sporting events to Houston or the Dallas area if the Texas legislature goes forward with a bill, get this is crazy, that would require men to use men's rooms and women to use women's rooms on state property. That's a crazy idea, I know. But this is the NFL, once again, weighing in on state public policy issues. And remember, Houston was the one where the citizens of Houston overwhelmingly rejected the mayor's gender-confused bathroom policy a couple years ago. Anyway, joining us now is someone who knows all about this crazy stuff. He's no stranger to the attacks from the left. Kurt Schilling, former All-Star pitcher and former analyst on ESPN. Kurt, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, your response to the NFL's threats?
A laugh. Listen, make no mistake about it. The NFL will draw a morality line, an ethical line, right up to the point where it costs them a dollar. The league is all about, always has been about money. Why else would you allow convicted felons and wife abusers and all kinds of people to still be participating in your sport? I believe in second chances, but everybody needs to remember that, watch this, at the end of the day, it's what, $9 billion a year business? So until that bottom line gets impacted, they'll say and do anything. You watched what they did to Tom Brady, which, by the way, was the reason this ending to this season was perfection. I'm saying that as a Steeler fan. But at the end of the day, professional sports and sports outside of high school sports, it's about the almighty dollar. And when that starts to get impacted, I bet you're going to see, I would bet in the next, if the decline in attendance continues, you'll see some sort of statute or rule about the national anthem if you're not going to stand, be off the field or something like that.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look what's happened to the NFL under this controversy of the national anthem, their viewing is declining. People are walking away from it, so they're losing
yep.
ground. But let me ask you this, Kurt. If the NFL wanted to, they could require all of their facilities to have these pro-transgender bathroom, locker room requirements. They could require that.
Well, absolutely. Right.
But why are they not doing it?
Because they don't believe it. This has nothing to do with their morals or ethics. Zero. Because I got fired from a company that is all about transgender laws in Disney that owns ESPN. I haven't seen a transgender bathroom in Disney. Have you?
It's not good for business.
No, exactly.
What they want, this is my theory, Kurt. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think what they want is they want government to do it, but they
sure.
will not do it on their own because they'll be like Target and they'll get a backlash from the consumer.
Well, that's what the coward usually does. The coward gets someone else to fight their battles for them. And that's been the liberal MO. Listen, all you have to do is look at Hollywood. I mean, you talk about a bunch of people that have no spine to stand up for a cause. They change causes every week. One week it's AIDS, the next week it's ALS, the next week it's transgender bathrooms, the next week it's homeless, the next week it's conflicts in Darfur. I mean, they go with whatever color ribbon is up. They have no stamp. They don't stick to anything. They don't actually have a cause. They have just different events. Because if they, you know, I got to tell you, I watched the Women's March in Washington, and I love the fact that people can peacefully protest in this country, but I kept trying to figure out what was being protested for. I don't know of any rights that have been lost in the last 3 weeks, much less 2 or 3 years. But look around the world at women that are actually being oppressed. You look in no farther than the Middle East. Why aren't we marching for them?
Good point. Why don't we see the NFL taking up that cause? Why don't we see
right.
them taking up the cause of the persecuted minorities, Christians, Yazidis, and others?
Be very clear about something. Colin Kaepernick knelt for a lie. The Michael Brown case, the hands up, don't shoot, was proven to be a 100% lie, and that was the catalyst for the Black Lives Matter movement. Not to mention the thought and the belief that there is a disproportionate amount of violence versus blacks from police officers is statistically false. It's a lie. It is not true. Heather McDonald wrote a book called War on Cops. He also wrote an article in the Wall Street Journal talking about the statistics of these very things. They're not true. And listen, we have racism in this country. It goes every different way. And you're not going to pass a law. You're not going to be able to legislate to the point where you get rid of it. If we want to have a free society, this society we have to accept the good with the bad. And the KKK and the Black Lives Matter, a violent part of the Black Lives Matter, and the Black Panther, those are all people we have to put up with to have the freedoms that we have.
You are absolutely correct. That is what happens in a free society, and we give life to things by participating in it, and when we want freedom, we participate in it, and we keep it alive. Kurt Schilling, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me.
All right, Kurt Schilling. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, folks, don't go away because we're coming back with your phone calls here on Washington Watch. Look, we're going to talk about this days after hosting a hugely successful Houston Super Bowl. Both from a PR and revenue standpoint, the league is starting the offseason with empty threats over the Texas Privacy Act. Are you tired of the NFL and the NCAA and other sporting organizations becoming an extension of the left? Maybe it's time you tell them. Well, you can start right here on Washington Watch. When we come back, I'm taking your phone calls, 866-372-7234. Don't go away. I'm not.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we've been leading these tours to Washington, D.C. for almost 20 years, and we've never had a response like we've had this year. We're going to fill up early for both our June and our September Spiritual Heritage Tours. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian, and he'll be commenting all along the way, taking your questions and interacting with the group. We're going to be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown as well on a separate tour that just precedes the Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon Spiritual Heritage Tour. So, if you'd like to go on one or both of these trips, you can find out all the information, all the details at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. 2017 may be your year to join us on one of these spiritual heritage tours.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
For four decades, God has used the passion and boldness of Don Wildman to stand against evil in America, to stand for righteousness. Founder of American Family Association, Dr. Wildman began the ministry from his living room. The culture war still rages, so he continues the fight for the family, for biblical decency.
Remember, God calls us to be faithful.
AFAjournal.org.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. In last week's Super Bowl, several advertisers pushed a political agenda rather than their product. One of the worst offenders was 84 Lumber with their blatant promotion of illegal immigration. The ad shows a Hispanic mother and daughter traveling on foot to get to the United States only to face a massive wall at the border. The ad states, quoting, "The will to succeed is always welcome here," unquote. 84 Lumber ignores the fact that while we are a welcoming nation, we are also a nation of laws. Being a nation of immigrants doesn't mean every immigrant who would like to come to America can do so at will and at risk to our national security. Christians are called to love the least of these. The government is called to guard the safety of our nation. Each should fulfill their individual roles. This is a Decency Minute. Find us at AmericanDecency.org. I'm Bill Johnson.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. 866-372-7234. All right, we were just talking with Kurt Schilling about the NFL saying that if, and keep this in perspective here, they just had a very successful Super Bowl in Houston, Texas, economically, PR-wise, everything. And Houston, by the way, was the city, the one city, democratically leaning city in Texas that voted to overturn the mayor's policy there with his gender-confused bathroom policy 2 years ago. All right, so now the NFL is saying that if the Texas legislature goes forward with the Texas Privacy Act, which simply says on state property, does not prohibit a private entity, including the NFL, if they want to have this kind of policy on their property, they can. But they will not have it in government schools or in government buildings. That's what the law does. And so the NFL is saying, well, if you do this, we're not going to bring any more Super Bowls to Texas. This is the same thing the NCAA has done to North Carolina. So here's my question. Are you tired of these sports organizations becoming an extension of the radical fringe left? 866-372-7234. Let me know what you think. Let's first go to Oklahoma, where Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, I just want to say it was a horrible year to be a Dallas Cowboy fan and not support the NFL. I get tired of not just the NFL, but Starbucks, Target, and all those places, you know, not sticking to what they're good at, but getting involved with politics.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't want them to weigh in on my side. I don't want them to become conservative activist organizations. I'm like you. I just want them to do what they're supposed to do. You know, provide your widgets and leave the other stuff to the people. But I think, Brad, when you mentioned Starbucks, look, I don't think I can't tell you the last time I went into a Starbucks. Never really liked their coffee anyway. But I would not give them the benefit of my money to use the profits from that to advance an agenda that is 180 degrees opposed to what I believe. And I think as Christians, as conservatives, we need to be good stewards of the money that we have and how that money is used so that we're not putting it into the hands of those who are going to use it against us. So I think we should shop, as is evidenced by so many people when it comes to Target, what they've done. Target stocks have declined significantly. They've lost about $10 billion worth of equity. We just need to continue that. And maybe, they'll get to the point they're going to throw that CEO overboard and they'll get somebody in like JCPenney did a few years ago and do a course correction. And they'll get the message. Now, they'll never come out and say. They never admit it. But you'll just have to watch it to see them do a course correction. Brad, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you calling in today. Let's go to Texas where Lee is on the line. Lee, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Hey, Tony, I was thinking as you were talking about this, don't most of these NFL teams play in tax in stadiums that are paid for by taxpayers? And therefore, you know, what right do they have to tell us how we should live? I think that's pretty pretty sorry situation, actually.
Well, what they're trying to do, Lee, is they're saying, well, we'll go to another state that's more accepting. And what I think needs to happen here, and I've actually had this conversation with a few state attorneys generals, that if the states got together and said, you know what, NFL, we're all adopting these common sense policies that will protect women and children. And so, okay, you don't like our state? Where are you going to go? You're going to go up to, you know, New York? The states that are most conducive, and one of the reasons North Carolina was doing so well is people wanted to go to North Carolina. It was a good state. It was a nice state to visit. And so the people were already going there, and that's why they actually moved some of these sporting events from Florida to North Carolina. So I think if the conservative states that are destination places that people actually want to go to would kind of stand together, it would force the hand of the NFL and these other sporting institutions that are basically trying to blackmail, being used by the left to blackmail these states. Lee, thanks so much for calling in. Good to hear from you today. Let's move right along. Let's go to Arkansas, where David is on the line. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking the call, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm doing better than I deserve.
What's your thoughts?
I'm absolutely just fed up with NFL and things like that, not only for that reason, but if people would get Satan blinders off of them and see and look back at how much that stuff cost the American public, those high-dollar advertisements from those places and everything, somebody's paying for that. Guess who's doing it? It's the consumer. So
yep.
It's nothing but a deal that Satan has put in there to take.
And if we don't spend our money with them, then they can't do it. They won't have the revenue. And this is a point, David, about how we give them our money to use against us. And I think if we would just kind of stick together, as we've seen happen, thankfully, with Target, the other retailers, other businesses are going to take note of that, and they're going to say, wait a minute, you know, we might not want to weigh in on that. We might just want to stay away from that one. So I think it's very important because it's instructive to these other companies when a company like Target, you know, feels the wrath of the conservative consumer. So I think it's extremely important, especially when it is a targeted collective initiative that is done where the impact is felt in a short period of time and with great, it's it's pretty strong. When you got a bunch of people standing together, you cannot avoid it. David, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you listening to Washington Watch. Let's go to Robert in Missouri. Robert, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I just wanted to remind you of a few years ago what the NFL did to Hank Williams Jr. All he did was make a comment about the Obama administration. I don't think he even said any names. And he was kicked off doing the little theme song for Monday Night Football. And you say something about that now and people don't really remember. They don't know what you're talking about. I was wondering, why does nobody sit down and make a list of all of these organizations like the NFL and Target and New Balance Shoes is speaking out now, and put that in front of the consumer's face so everybody knows exactly who is on that side? Because when we spend our money buying New Balance Shoes or stuff like that, I mean, we're helping the left fight their fight. And, I mean, it could be printed on Chick-fil-A sacks if they would get involved, you know, and be so bold as to do that. I wish somebody would, you know, inform everybody that wants to be informed of just where not to spend your money.
Well, I'll tell you who has a good resource on that. The American Family Association and the AFR carries our program. AFR does, they're by far the best when it comes to tracking corporate America from a standpoint of the boycotts. Now, there's two resources. One is the American Family Association. Check out their website because I believe they have an active list there of some of the companies that are being boycotted. But also, we had him on last week, Dr. David Black with Second Vote. Another great resource. There's an app for your phone that Robert, you can just download it on your iPhone and you can, go to make a purchase. You look up the vendor, whether it's Office Depot or whether it's Starbucks or whatever. And it'll immediately give you their rating on five or six different issues, conservative issues. And then you can pick the best, in terms I say best, the one that is least offensive or neutral on so many of the issues that we care about. And so I agree with you 100%. That's how we ought to be spending our money, with guidance and direction and collectively joining together to do that. I would hope that people take encouragement from what they see happening with Target, that they, you know, while Walmart, and I'm not singing the praises of Walmart by any means, because they're they're just as bad, but they've been kind of silent because they don't want to get whacked like Target. But Target, while Target has been declining, Walmart has seen an uptick, as some of the other retailers. So, you know, Target's trying to blow this off, saying, well, it's just a bad economy. No, it's not. They are being slapped by consumers for wading into an issue that, quite frankly, is not only offensive but threatening to the people who shop in their stores. And they should feel that wrath. By the way, speaking of this whole issue with the NFL and the bathroom policies in Texas, next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, we are going to have a special webcast, one-hour program with the Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick, also going to have the Lieutenant Governor from North Carolina joining us, along with many other experts, to discuss this issue. To find out more about how you can be a part of that, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. As I mentioned, Dan Patrick from Texas, Dan Forrest, Lieutenant Governor of North Carolina, will be with us for this special program, because it's not just about Texas. It's focused on, because that's kind of ground zero right now, but these policies are having to be pursued in states all across the country, and at the root of it is the Obama administration's policies on restrooms in schools. Now, there's still a big question mark. Will the Trump administration undo this? Now, they have just announced, I guess today, or maybe it was the end of last week, they will not be challenging a court order staying one of the policies that was challenged by the states. But will they actually remove the guidance that the Department of Education put out? We don't know the answer to that yet. All right, let me work another call here. Let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to talk to you.
The answer to your question is yes, it does bother me that the NFL and basketball leagues are totally in the tank for the worldwide Marxist cabal, I call it. And I have not watched a single football game this whole last year or a basketball game at all. The entire year, 2016, into this year, not the Super Bowl either. And I just signed a retirement petition a long time ago. But I do drink Starbucks, so sorry about that.
All right, Pete, thank you so much. I would say the same thing. I would say that I have not watched a basketball game or a football game in the entire year, but that would mean nothing because I can't remember the last time I watched them. I just don't have time to watch those. I know, don't send me any messages. I'm just busy. I don't have time to watch them, but I certainly wouldn't watch them given what we see happening in NFL today, especially when you've got these guys who have the privilege of playing professional sports in a country that allows freedom, to allow these guys to get paid what they get paid. And I don't have anything against them for getting, I mean, look, whatever the market will bear. But to disrespect the men and the women who literally are laying down their lives to protect this country and the ideals that this country represents, to discredit them and dishonor them by not even standing for the national anthem. Folks, I don't know about you, but that just flies all over me. That these guys who, you know, they make probably in 5 minutes stepping on that field what some of these soldiers will make in an entire year. And they could not step onto that field if it were not for the men and women who are willing to lay down their lives for the things that made this America, this country, what it is. I don't have respect for people like that. And I don't even want to look at them. And I'm certainly not going to give them my money. And I would encourage you not to either. All right, folks. Man, a lot going on this week. So we've got a lot to cover in the coming days this week. But let me encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, this coming Wednesday. That's just today's Monday, tomorrow's Tuesday, then Wednesday, 1 p.m. We will have a webcast covering this topic and what it'll be action items on what you can do to prepare your state, or you might want to even contact state legislators and school board members to be watching, because there will be action items in ways that you can protect your community and your children from these policies that the left continue to push. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. That's coming up this Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Hey, anybody know what tomorrow is? Valentine's Day. That's right, guys. I'm giving you heads up. All right? You got time now. The program's just about over. Make sure you make plans to pick up some flowers or something tomorrow. Especially you married guys, let your wife know she's special on Valentine's Day. All right, folks, out of time. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but hopefully you'll be back tomorrow, and we will as well. Until then, remember the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.